When Mayor Ed Koch took office in 1978, New York City was crumbling. The South Bronx, once a thriving middle-class neighborhood, had become a national symbol of urban decline and devastation. Crime rates soared. Out-of-control spending had brought the city to the brink of bankruptcy, leading to a state takeover of its finances. The subway, like much of the city's infrastructure, was literally and figuratively running off the rails. Period films such as Death Wish, The Warriors, and Escape from New York captured the prevailing sense that lawlessness and disorder would ultimately destroy America's biggest city. On July 13, 1977, the city reached its nadir when a 24-hour blackout gave way to mass looting. Bushwick, a working-class neighborhood in Brooklyn, was burned to the ground.
What do you think that the city should have done for you the other night?
They should have stopped them from coming in. They were standing here, and they weren't doing anything.
Then New York City Mayor Abe Beame, a former accountant and longtime Democratic Party apparatchik, struggled to maintain control.
You know what the cops said to me? Why should I risk my life for you? What did you do for us? Yesterday morning at 9:30.
Then came Edward Irving Koch. Koch's chutzpah was exactly what the city needed.
Don't I have a right to disagree with him?
Well, I'd like to know.
Did I lose my First Amendment rights because I became the mayor?
The difference between you and I is if I disagree with someone, it does not go into the pages.
So what?
It's not heard by thousands of people.
So what?
A self-proclaimed liberal with sanity, Koch took on special interests. He put the city's finances back in order, and he showed that it was not only possible to govern, but to have fun doing it.
It's all part of being mayor. The secret is to enjoy it.
Koch loved the media, famously taking questions from reporters in the City Hall bathroom, and there was virtually no topic on which he wouldn't venture an oversized opinion.
Mr. Mayor, it's an emergency.
Call that.
I'm looking for a frog who can sing and dance.
If he can also balance the budget, I'll hire him.
He gained a national reputation by being the quintessential New Yorker, a Bronx-born ethnic whose disparaging remarks about life outside the city may well have cost him a bid for the governor's mansion in Albany. Long presumed to be gay, Koch kept mum about his personal life. Since losing his bid for a fourth term in 1989, Koch has been a tireless dilettante. He's written books and hosted his own radio show. He was Judge Wapner's first replacement on the People's Court.
He made a total mess.
You have to do this step by step. Did you put holes in the window?
Yeah, and I paid for the broken window.
He started a nonprofit to clean up corruption in the state capitol. He turned his passion for film into an avocation as a movie reviewer, now on the YouTube channel, The Mayor at the Movies.
What do you think I'm going to do? It's a plus!
Earlier this year, New York's Queensboro Bridge was renamed in his honor. I sat down with Mayor Koch at his office in Midtown in April of 2011. 1977, you ran for mayor of New York as a liberal with sanity. You had the fiscal crisis, which was huge and looming. Crime was spiraling out of control. There was a perception that New York was an ungovernable city.
Correct.
What was your role in addressing those kinds of issues?
Well, when people said New York City was ungovernable, I said it depends on who's governing it. And I quickly established that I would be in charge. The commitment that I made was that no matter how unpopular I would become as a result of taking the measures to reduce the expenditures so that we ultimately would have a balanced budget, meaning not spending more money than we were taking in, that I would take. And what I said was, you know, if you all who I've somehow or other injured in the sense that we're talking about, got together, you could throw me out, and if you do, I'll get a better job and you won't get a better mayor.
Well, how important was that, you know, that your force of personality, how important was
that to
your success?
Pat Moynihan, Senator Pat Moynihan, phrased it, I gave the people back their morale. You had to get people to follow you. And I think, a reticent personality, quite private, but I realized that would not do the job. And so I became far more on stage to the point where I recall saying, if you follow me, I will lead you across the desert. That's a pretty nutty statement, but I meant it.
What was the biggest expenditure that you cut, or what was the deepest cut that you made?
You can't look at it that way. You have to look at it as, for example, the police went down from 26,000 to 22,000. We had to cut almost every program. My recollection is we used to say there are about 50 agencies. They all have to be cut, but not equally. So it's not across the board 10%. And we did it. The state of New York gave us 4 years within which to accomplish that, and we did it in 3 years.
What do you think the role of rent control was in the dwindling of New York's housing stock?
Rent control was not responsible for the reduction in housing. I mean, landlords would say that. Mm-hmm. Rent controls were necessary, are necessary today. They cover, of the 3 million apartments in New York City, about 1 million apartments. And it keeps the middle class here.
Does it actually end up rewarding people who are well-connected? I mean, you famously lived in a rent control apartment.
When I was mayor, I had a rent-controlled apartment. Then I went to Gracie Mansion, where the city provides accommodations. I kept my apartment at that time. I no longer have it. Did I need it? I mean, could I pay the market rent? Sure.
And so shouldn't you have been? I mean, if,
no, I
if
don't
it's
think
a,
so.
If
I,
rent
no,
control is supposed
was,
to help
it wasn't,
people.
The procedure for rent-controlled apartments had nothing to do with the tenants. It had to do with the apartment was rent controlled. It wasn't that the tenant was rent controlled.
With Bloomberg and Giuliani as well, one of the things that they're criticized for is getting rid of a lot of the rough edges of New York. You know, you can't smoke in you can't smoke in cities. We can't have trans fat here. Calorie counts are on the menus. Things like that.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I'm asking. Like, do you?
I think
do you feel
I think that the government can. Enter these areas delicately, if you will. I mean, not with a saber-type fiat, but in a responsible way.
And Bloomberg talks about waging a war on salt. Is that a legitimate function of the government?
Absolutely. I mean, it's an education war. I don't know what the statistics are, but I suspect that a huge percentage of people in America, including those in New York, are suffering from obesity, children in particular, and from diabetes.
Would you have been a better governor than Mario Cuomo?
I'm not going to say that at all. I think that Mario Cuomo was a good governor. I think I would have been a good governor.
Do you like what Andrew Cuomo is doing so far?
I think Andrew has been spectacular in his successes in reducing the budgetary deficit by $10 billion.
It's a $133 billion budget, though. So it's, is that couch
billion.
Cushion change?
It's incredible.
Now, but Andrew Cuomo has also pushed the idea that he is going to reduce expenditures without raising taxes. And he says that's very important to maintaining the vitality.
I disagree with him.
You and Mario Cuomo were political rivals. There were ugly scenes both when you were both running for mayor as well as governor.
Sure there was.
And Andrew Cuomo, it's ascribed to him that he came up with a couple of the, you know, some of the ugliest sloganeering in American politics. Vote for Cuomo, not the homo. Don't be a cocksucker. Things like that. What was the role of your perceived...
Firstly, Andrew Cuomo denies it, and I accept the fact that he did not do that, but that someone in their campaign did.
Are we in a better place in America where those types of charges don't carry the same weight now? And
oh,
if
I
so,
don't know
how
if
did
they
we
don't
get...
carry the same weight. I don't know that at all.
But I mean, clearly America, compared to 1977 or 1982, is far more accepting of any possible lifestyle. Would you agree?
No, I wouldn't. It's more accepting, but it's not accepting. Okay. So, for example, in the... New York, one of the progressive states in the union, most progressive. There was legislation before the state Senate last year on allowing same-sex marriage, and it went down to a terrible defeat.
What is the role of public figures, particularly politicians, in creating broader social tolerance and
Very
social
important.
Acceptance?
I believe that's what leadership is all about.
Are you gay?
Now, I will tell you, that's a very interesting question. I refuse to answer that question because if I answered your question, how then would you prevent every political organization in America, when it rates candidates and sends questionnaires, is to put in the question, what's your sexual orientation? Do you think that should be permissible? I don't think so.
Well, but people, I mean, people,
voters. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, and I don't disagree.
Your question legitimizes a political organization asking that of every single candidate.
But doesn't it also lose its power if people say, yeah, you know what, I'm gay, or I'm heterosexual, or I'm in an open marriage.
But would you, I've asked you the question, would you allow by affirming the legitimacy of every political organization asking every candidate running for office that question, would you allow that?
I would. I think that everybody has the right to ask whatever questions they
allow
want.
Allow in the sense of affirming
legitimacy. And I would, if I was running for office, I would answer questions like that rob them of
you,
power.
Do you believe that... hold it. Do you believe that... The Sierra Club, in asking all of the questions, it's a good government organization, I think it is, should have the legitimate right.
Right.
We're not talking about the legal right. Legitimate right to ask every candidate, what is your sexual orientation?
Why would that be different than saying, do you recycle at home?
It's you haven't answered my question.
I think
you
that...
I do not. Yeah. I do not.
But I also, because I think, you know, those lifestyle issues should not matter in people's
Whether they should or they shouldn't, there are certain areas of privacy.
You fought in World War II, which is something that is rarely remarked upon in your public record. What's your strongest memory from fighting?
Having a friend blown up he's lying in a foxhole in a mortar. Made a direct hit and just nothing left of him. That's my strongest memory.
In terms of your congressional career, what are your high points? This is also something that rarely gets discussed, but you were elected for four terms?
Five terms. Some of the highlights? Well, I am very proud of the fact that with Bella Abzug and two other members of Congress, we introduced in 1974 legislation that would bar discrimination based on sexual orientation. This is in 74. Aside from two other members, four of us all together, no other member of Congress would become a co-sponsor. I'm very proud of that.
Let's go through a kind of lightning round of current people and just give me your quick response. Sure. This is kind of a Rorschach test. Donald Trump.
He's a braggart and probably is the best huckster in America and has taken the press for a ride on his presidential campaign.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Superb person who started what governors now are doing all over the nation, which is acknowledging that you don't spend money you don't have.
Do you like his engagement with the teachers' unions?
I am one of those people who... believe that Mayor Bloomberg and other mayors around the country and governors who have taken on the teachers' union have done a very important job. They are no longer able to sell what they used to be able to sell, which is all they're interested in, the teachers, is the children. People understand today that their major interest is their salaries and their pensions.
The Tea Party.
Well, I think it's a collection of diverse people. There are nuts in it. We've seen them. They generally run for office. But there are others who identify on the basis that they think the federal government's out of control and they would like to reduce government. They're not bad people in that sense. I mean, that's not a philosophy that is terrible.
What do you think about the internet?
I'm not computer literate. I have two secretaries that are absolutely spectacular.
But you are a YouTube sensation with the mayor at the movies.
Yeah, because I have people who do the technology. I do the thinking.
George W. Bush, how do you rate his presidency and
his
legacy?
I think he was marvelous on standing up to terrorism. And as I said when I endorsed him, I didn't agree with him on a single domestic issue.
What about Barack Obama?
I think he has done a lousy job on foreign relations. That's in my commentary. I think he displayed a hostility to Israel that is very wrong. I think that...
What is his hostility to Israel?
Well, I think he believes that Israel is the impediment to good relations with the Arab world. He's wrong. As we see today, every Arab country is having a revolution, whether it's a good revolution or a bad revolution, I don't know, because we don't know what these people who are in the streets really want. But I believe that President Obama, when he made his speech in Egypt, did not ever go to Israel, which all prior presidents have done, especially if they went to Egypt first, they go to Israel second, or vice versa. And so he's not trusted by supporters of Israel, not just Jews, I'm Jewish, but there are more Christians supporting Israel than there are Jews. Thank God.
What are the lessons from New York? I mean, you have lived an immense, an immensely rich life.
I
mean,
I have.
Growing up in, being born in 1924, World War II, living through the Depression, World War II, you were lucky enough to spend some time living in New Jersey, the greatest state in the Union.
I escaped from Newark when I was 17.
You came through some of the roughest times.
That's just a jest. Because Cory Booker and I are very good friends. But I don't want him to get mad.
What can New York and what can New York City, what can it teach the rest of the country?
I really can't improve on the statement of the song. You can make it here, you can make it anywhere. There's a certain street smarts. There's a certain New York humor. We're not smarter than the rest of the country. We are the rest of the country. Less than 50% of the people who live in the city of New York were born here. I'm one of them. I was born in the Bronx. But the rest came from every state in the Union and every country in the world. So we are America.
Ed Koch, thank you very much for talking to Reason TV. I'm Nick Gillespie.